Hallo und herzlich willkommen im Etablissement, dem kleinen Bühnenpodcast für die Dame, die ihren Hanky-Code immer parat hat. Heute mit einer neuen Ausgabe aus Los Angeles. Es ist ja ziemlich bekannt, dass Downtown LA ein ziemlich heißes Pflaster ist und auch eine ziemlich große Obdachlosenpopulation hat. Mir war das zuerst gar nicht weiter aufgefallen, aber wenn man dann doch mal die richtige Straße entlang geführt wird von Google Maps, dann kommt man dann doch an den Zeltstätten vorbei und denkt, dass es in so einem reichen und auch wirtschaftlich ja erfolgreichen Bundesstaat wie Kalifornien sowas eigentlich fast nicht geben dürfte. Ich fand es schon ziemlich schockierend an manchen Stellen. In meinen ersten Tagen in Los Angeles war ich ja ziemlich viel zu Fuß unterwegs oder mit dem Bus wegen der erwähnten Mietwagenprobleme und musste an irgendeiner Strecke an der Haltestelle MacArthur Park umsteigen. Ich hatte mich gar nicht groß umgeguckt und stieg aus und plötzlich ist man doch sehr konkret mit Armut, Drogen, Obdachlosigkeit konfrontiert und doch auch nochmal in einer anderen Dimension, als man es aus Berlin vielleicht kennt. Rund um diesen MacArthur Park in Downtown LA spielt die Geschichte von Cain Carillas. Er kam als Kind mit seinen Eltern aus Mexiko nach Los Angeles und wuchs in der Gegend um den MacArthur Park auf. Noch als Schüler geriet er mehr oder weniger aus Zufall an das Bob Baker Marionettentheater, ein Puppentheater für Kinder, was ziemlich bekannt ist hier in LA und eine lange Tradition hier hat. Und dort wurde er jahrelang einer der Hauptpuppenspieler. Er sagt selbst, dass er diesem Bob Baker eigentlich alles zu verdanken hat und diesem Puppentheater. Und deswegen hat er sich Bob Bakers Namen auf die Hand tätowieren lassen, auf die Hand, mit der er diese Puppen spielt. Nach Bakers Tod verließ er das Theater und baute vor einiger Zeit eine eigene Puppe, einen traurigen mexikanischen Clown, El Triste, der als Instagram-Persönlichkeit hier in LA und auch darüber hinaus eine riesige Fangemeinde hat. El Triste ist Model, tritt in Musikvideos auf, erscheint auf Partys und Quinceañeras, aber auch eben immer wieder in der Gegend um den MacArthur Park für Charity-Aktionen und demnächst eben auch eine Ausstellung. Die Geschichte von Cain Carillas ist eine richtige Los Angeles-Geschichte und ein ziemlicher Kontrast und die andere Seite zu den Riots gegen Trumps ICE und den Deportationen, die hier in LA in der Migranten-Community gerade stattfinden. Während Trump mit der Entsendung der Nationalgarde die Situation hier ja sehr künstlich hochjazzt und eigentlich gar nicht versucht, hier Ruhe reinzubringen, sondern sehr daran interessiert scheint, die Sache immer dramatischer und dramatischer werden zu lassen. Das heißt, es verlagert sich dadurch die Aufmerksamkeit natürlich völlig. Der Blick wird weggelenkt von diesen brutalen Deportationen, also dass hier Leute, die hier seit 15 Jahren Pizza backen, aus dem Bus gezogen werden und von ihren Familien getrennt werden, hin zu ein paar Idioten, die hier drei fahrerlose Autos anzünden. Und natürlich hat Trump Interesse daran, Kalifornien, das ja ein demokratischer Staat ist, möglichst miserabel dastehen zu lassen. Ja, es besorgt die Leute, die ich hier treffe und mit denen ich sprechen kann, schon sehr die ganze Situation, abgesehen davon, dass es natürlich um Freunde, Nachbarn, Mitarbeiter, Kollegen geht, die von diesen ICE Raids betroffen sind. Und dann ist es aber trotzdem auch wieder interessant zu sehen, wie aktiv die Leute werden, wie schnell. Also einer erzählte mir gestern, dass er jetzt zu einem Kurs geht, wo man lernt, wie man patrouilliert und wie man diese Eiswagen erkennt, wie man sein Viertel schützt und wo man hinschreibt, um die Leute dann zu warnen. Also die Leute sind auch sehr, sehr umtriebig, wenn es darum geht, Formen zu finden, aktiv zu werden gegen das und laut zu werden, zu zeigen, auf wessen Seite man steht. Selbst nach all den Jahren, die Cain Carillas hier als Puppenspieler arbeitet und all den Dingen, die er hier mit El Triste bewegt, ist sein Immigration-Status immer noch in der Schwebe. Und auch das ist LA 2025. Ich hatte das Glück und das Vergnügen, Cain im MacArthur Park zu treffen. Wir sitzen also draußen während des Gesprächs. Daher gibt es ein paar Nebengeräusche. Das als kleine Vorwarnung und nun viel Spaß beim Gespräch mit Cain Carillas. How did you get into, is it like puppeteering?
Yeah, puppeteering. Yeah. Puppetry.
Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting story, you know, because I'm not from Los Angeles, I'm not from the USA.
Yeah.
I'm from Mexico, I'm from Tijuana.
Yeah.
You know, it's like south of the border of San Diego, and that's where I was born and raised. My parents brought me to Los Angeles when I was 13 to 14 years old. And, you know, I was just in middle school. Mm-hmm. I got here to middle school, and of course, the schools here to where I was teaching over there is different. There are two different concepts, and right here you'll be changing to different rooms. So every science is one room, for math there's another room. Mm-hmm. Over there in Mexico, in one room they will teach you everything. Mm-hmm. You would learn history, science, math, practically everything in one room. So it kind of threw me off a little bit when I came to the school, mm-hmm. District of, you know, the United States, how it is and stuff. And, you know, it was cool. Middle school, half a year. It was great. You know, I came to learn English, of course. You know, I didn't know one bit of English. And I went to high school, which is actually like a block away from where we are right now. My high school is just above the street.
Yeah.
And Belmont High School, that's where I kind of landed. You know, the first years, of course, you know, I didn't know English. I was kind of learning my surroundings. You know, of course, I was trying to gather some friends, you know, and things like that. And everybody, all my friends spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of got to them as my school friends and stuff like that. Where I grew up in MacArthur Park, of course, that's my home. And everybody there was mostly in English.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was two different worlds. And I got to meet a lot of my friends there. And, you know, I got to learn about the streets, the neighborhood and stuff like that. And, you know, one of my friends acquired the job in a theater, in mm-hmm. a puppet theater, which is the Bob Bacon Marionette Theater. And he got the job to do some drops that go up and down and some sceneries and stuff like that.
Like
and,
a technician.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And like that. And they wanted somebody to do the lighting effects, like the lighting guy.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he asked me, hey, you want to work in a theater? In my mind, I thought it was going to be like a movie theater. You know, I was like, oh, I'm going to be looking at free movies. I'm going to go in there and you look just at these movies for free, you know, and see the stuff. But I walked in this puppet theater and I seen like an hour show. They had over 100 puppets. It was like around Halloween. So I seen like a Halloween theme show. And it was mind blowing to me, you know, because I never seen a puppet show before. Actually, a marionette. I never seen marionettes before. And it was my first experience. It just kind of caught my eye and
yeah.
It kind of just grabbed me, you know, didn't let me go because, you know, it kind of made me want to learn, trying to see what was going on with the theater, you know. Of course, you know, Bob Baker hired me. I spent like 5 years just doing the lighting effects.
Okay.
So I was doing the lighting effects for these shows that we're doing. And me as a lighting technician or lighting guy that I was doing, I would have to see what everybody was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if a puppet would be on stage, I would have to see how far the puppet would go forward or how much it would go backwards. I would have to learn the song to see how the puppet is moving. And depending on the mood, depending on the song, I will be changing the lighting effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's snowing, I will put blues and white. If it was a desert, I will put yellows and reds and kind of mimicking the mood and what the atmosphere was. And yeah, I spent 5 years just doing all that.
So you didn't grow up in a household or in a family where you went into theater or
no.
Where you know what it was?
Nothing. You know, I grew up in the streets. In the streets, you hardly find things like that. And in Tijuana, where I'm from, Mexico, you know, it was just mostly soccer on the streets, you know, playing tag. There was not really that much theatrical theaters over there that I know of. Nothing puppetry related. Maybe drawing, you know, that's like an art form and things like that. Drawing and painting and stuff like that. But nothing puppetry world. Nothing puppet related.
Mm-hmm.
I just got here to United States, to Los Angeles, and Bob Baker Marionette Theater introduced me to a whole new world that I didn't even know existed. Because before that, I didn't even seen the movie Pinocchio before, you know, mm-hmm. like, because that's, of course, a big famous puppet kind of thing, theme stuff. And I never seen that one before I came to the theater. So, you know, I got to experience the puppetry world, the marionettes and stuff like that. And I just kind of stayed there, you know. It was a job, of course, you know, and I was, you know, fresh from Mexico. And, you know, I was not going to look for another job because I already had one fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
And I just kept it, you know, 5 years turning to 10, 10 turning to 15. And that's when I kind of started kind of more into like trying to learn more of it, you know, because at the beginning it was just a job. You know, it was from 9 to 5. I would go in and out and I was, of course, do the puppet shows because that was a job. You know, that's what they acquired me to do. But as far as I mean, like, oh, I'm going to go do my job. Like, I didn't really fall in love with it. The beginning years.
Okay, how did you transition or how did you get the idea to you want to be a puppeteer yourself, maybe?
But like I said, I didn't, like, it took me like maybe 10 years, man. Mm-hmm. 10 years already in the form, like, because I was already working there. Bob Baker paid me to be there to help him whatever he needed and things like that. And, you know, I was still kind of more like in a gangster style kind of living, you know, mm-hmm. like I would be on the street causing trouble, getting into fights, you know, stealing and doing all that crazy stuff. But when I would come into the Bob Baker world, it was like a whole different, like, vision and mm-hmm. fantasy, you know, you could say. And it was amazing place to be, and you know, that's why I kept it. You know, it kept me away from a lot of trouble, because of course MacArthur Park is not best known for the best place to be living, you know.
Yeah.
It has a lot of really bad reputation, but you know, it's still there, you know, it's still my home. And as far as fell in love with the puppetry, it was kind of tough, you know, because I was kind of like the troublemaker, like the outsider from the little group that was there, because it was like 10 puppeteers there, you know. I was mm-hmm. just one of them, you know. There was other puppeteers that went to puppetry school, that went to, like, you know, they got degrees in puppetry, and I just came from the streets, you know. And you know, I was never really there in the Christmas parties, I was never really there in their picture group kind of pictures mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And you know, even though I spent like 15 years with Bob Baker working, I actually never took a picture with him. I was never like in that type of like, oh, you know, let me take a picture. Like, it was just, you know, it was my boss, you know, that was yeah. as far as I kind of remember. And of course, he kind of planted the seed of puppetry into me, and that's what I'm still doing right now, which yeah. is pretty lovely, because without him being in my life, I don't know where I'll be, probably in jail, probably even dead, probably, and back in Mexico, because, you know, of course, you know, my status immigration is a little difficult, but, you know, I've been doing good, man. I'm flying straight, you know, I'm just kind of riding my own wave in whatever comes my way. I try to do, you know, I'm not out there kind of like, hey, you know, things and that. People love what I do, and they appreciate something different, you know, because not a lot of people seen a marionette before, you know. They see, of course, you know, movies and things like that, but seeing like a real life marionette, like right in your face when you're just hanging out, is like a whole pretty shocking experience that you probably won't forget.
Yeah. So it was a learning by doing thing. Like, you were watching the puppeteers, yeah. and that's how you learned.
Yeah,
it's not like you took a course.
I never did that, and I was just learning by looking. And like I said, I didn't know English at the time,
yeah.
so it was hard for me to understand even the music, trying to understand the feelings that they're trying to transfer into the puppet. I was just looking at Bob Baker do a puppet, and then I would just copy what he was doing. And that's how I kind of learned, you know. And it was just random. I didn't really work for it, you know. It was just something really unexpected, because a main puppeteer that was working there, when I got there, he actually left and started doing his own more puppets in mm-hmm. his own way. And everybody was kind of scared to grab some of these marionettes, because they're kind of intimidating, you know. Some of these puppets, you have to really practice hundreds and hundreds of hours to be able to even manipulate it and be on a stage and do like a whole number and all that rehearsal and like a whole choreography. It takes a lot of courage, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that you could be like, oh, I'm a performer and I'm gonna do this. Like, nah. Once you're outside with all these hundreds of people just looking at you, what you're doing is like, oh man, you get really intimidating. And
yeah.
it's a little, you know, you get goosebumps. But when you know what you're doing, it's kind of refreshing, and it's kind of like rewarding to see the people's expressions when you're actually doing something that they've never seen before. And especially when it comes to a marionette, every marionette, like Bob Baker has a collection of over 3,000 marionettes.
Wow.
Like, you could already imagine how
he's
many,
a legend.
Oh,
no?
Bob Baker, for sure. I actually have them right here, like, in my hands.
Oh, a tattoo.
These are the tattoos that you manipulate the puppets with. And these are the puppets that the control right there. You see
oh,
that?
Yeah.
So this is, we call it an airplane control. Mm-hmm. This one controls the feet and the hands. This one, of course, the whole body and the mouth and the whatever. And I pulled the name Bob Baker here because he's the one that saved me from the streets. And, you know, everybody from the theater has like a memorial tattoo based on Bob Baker, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, he has like a clown that everybody knows, the Whiz Clown. The you know, and I wanted to get something different, something mm-hmm. that you know, like I feel like I'm gonna be a puppeteer forever. You know, like, this is like a skill that you're not gonna forget. Cause imagine, like, you're riding a bike. You know, it's just like learning bikes, like a bicycle. You're learning how to ride. Of course, with time, you're gonna learn how to do tricks. 10 years later, you come back and you already know what the main ingredients to do the bike riding and all that stuff to be. So if I stop doing puppeteering, like, I mean, you know, like, that skill is not gonna go away. Cause, you know, it's like muscle memory. You know,
this classic puppetry you did at the Bob Baker
thing.
Did it work like with the playback thing?
Yeah,
or was
yeah.
it like live spoken text? No, it was like
it was pre-recorded. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, you know, Bob Baker collection of records spans probably over 10,000 records. He collected everything from everything, no matter what it was, he collected it. When it comes to certain shows, it used to be voice actors that used to work there that would do the voices of the puppets. That was back in the days.
Live.
Like, so not as live, but they were recording and do it to the puppet.
Okay.
There's a couple of marionettes. They acquire interaction with people, which is like a painting rabbit that goes painting flavors on people. So you have to actually interact with people. There's a few interact puppets, but I never really did those because I was never really like a English spoken person when it comes to that. Like, because you have to be funny and really, of course, people need to understand what you're saying. And, you know, I was more like a backup.
Puppet theater is like a huge theater, but just in small.
Yeah, yeah.
So you learned everything like from a little children's theater, which probably also maybe helped you like connecting to theater at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like I learned everything backwards, you know. I learned how to manipulate them, how to work them, how to fix them. I didn't learn as much as how to build them, you know, because of course when you build a puppet you have to sketch the puppet first, see how it's gonna look, the fabrics and things like that. I didn't learn as much as that because, you know, my English was not as great in that time, but I did learn a lot of skills when it comes to repairing, to trying to figure out what we could do with this puppet that never been used before and things like that, which just kind of helps me a lot when it comes to like the skills that I acquired. Because when I used to work there, I was the main puppeteer. So I was doing the puppets that were like the main puppets, you know, like the solo numbers. I was doing like the group numbers, but I was doing the one singing or whatever, like the puppet wise, not me. You know, now I treasure it, you know, because at the beginning, like I said, it was just a job, you know. Yeah. Pay the bills. I have a big family, you know. I'm the older one of six kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my mom, my dad, but my dad was hardly with us. We used to live in a single apartment, like 10 people. So it was kind of like really crowded, but you know, I always managed to work, and it was just a job, you know. But now, of course, you know, I'm older, I'm wiser, you know. I created El Triste, which is one of my first marionettes that one of my friends helped me create with me. And I created him more as an example to show people what a marionette looks like, and eventually bring people into the Babek Marionette Theater and see way bigger things and, you know, like a real puppet show, you know, because he's pretty small. Compared to the other puppets, he doesn't talk, he doesn't blink. You know, it's just the expression that he has, and you know,
he doesn't talk.
No, he doesn't talk. No.
Okay.
No. He's just practically. It was a doll that I broke apart.
Okay.
And I added, of course, my friend added like some features to look more like me, because that's kind of like my slick back, more my facial. So I kind of made him look like me, and I labeled him El Triste, the saddest puppet in Los Angeles. You know. El Triste, the sad one, is that's what translates the sad one. And, you know, I feel like sadness is like a really strong feeling because, you know, Bob Baker actually never saw my first puppet because he passed away in 2014. He was 93 when he passed away, 93 years old, and he was doing puppets since he was 8. So, like, 80 plus years of doing what you love is just amazing. And, you know, just to be able to be in that journey and be in that conversation with him in his name and all that, I'm just privileged, man, because you know, I feel like I'm living somebody else's dream, you know, because I'm not supposed to be over here, you know. But you know, we're still here, we're just trying to do the best that we can to show off puppetry, you know. And I'm just, like I say, I'm practically like a walking promotional guide, because I'm always talking about Baker, you know. If you like El Triste, go to Bob Baker, you know, you guys gonna
love
it.
But do you still work for them?
No. I stopped the pandemic, you know, all that stuff, because I don't have papers and things like that, you know. I don't get a stimulus check that everybody was getting at home and all that, like, just because you're being at home, I had to actually find a job and
work.
I started working in restaurants. I've been a cook for like over 10 years now. I figure I'm going with my hands, go for the knife. So yeah, I've been like
that's dangerous. You need your hands.
No, of course,
don't
I know.
Your,
oh yeah,
cut off your fingers.
I got a couple of cuts and burns in my hands all the time. And but yeah, I started working in restaurants, and you know, during the pandemic, restaurants were the only ones allowed to be open. So I got lucky to land it on a restaurant. You know, I never stopped working. When I was working at the Babek Marionette Theater, of course it's a job, you know, but it's not like a job that you could really gonna like live off, you know, because not a lot of people want to see a puppet show nowadays. Of course, back in the days, because right now they're in a great big location, and they're really getting a lot of love, you know, because when I was at the moment when I was there, it was like a desert. Not a lot of people want to come and see shows. We hardly get schools, and like people, it was just not that many shows going on, you know. And it was pretty tough because I would sometimes get a paycheck, sometimes I wouldn't. And, you know, it's not like I said, it was not something that I could live off, you know. Yeah. I started working in restaurants and, you know, I started kind of getting paid a little more. I got to know, I guess, I invested in my own merchandise and my own brand and things like that. And, you know, this guy is kind of like the face of the business.
Yeah. Yeah. But what is the business?
The business is, well, you know what, like, I built them more as an example to show people what a marionette looks like, right? So mm-hmm. I didn't have no clue what my puppet was going to do or what he's going to become. So little by little, people were requesting him to be in music videos. Little by little, people wanted him to be model, like actor, doing like little scenes and things like that. Oh, trust me, like this guy is practically everything that I cannot be. Yeah, because, you know, like, I don't consider myself an actor or a model. He's the one that kind of helped me with that, because sometimes they hire him, but I have to be there with him, you know. So it's like we kind of both get hired to do certain things in the same way that, like, I never think to do
also stuff. Parties, birthdays.
Oh, yeah. I've done so many quinceañeras, birthday parties. And the thing about that people think that I do performances, and I actually don't perform anymore.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Like, yeah. How does the appearance of a Tristan look like?
I mean, you know, people treat him like as a celebrity. You know, yeah. He's like a big, supposedly, Los Angeles icon that people love to see, you know. And when it comes to parties, I practically go into the party to be a part of the family, too. If people are dancing, I make my puppets dance. If people are taking pictures, I take pictures with them. If people are hitting the piñata, then doing the jumper thing. Like, I make my puppets act like real people.
Ah, okay. So he's a guest then.
Yeah, he acts like a guest.
He's not the celebrity guest. He's just like, he behaves just like one of the guests.
Yeah, exactly that.
That's nice. Interesting.
And, I do sing like maybe 2 songs, but that's like 5-10 minutes. It's not like a whole 2-3 hour thing, you know. Of course, the most famous song, I'm Your Puppet, is like a really good oldies. And he's really famous for this one song called Nobody's Clown. It's like a really famous song that this group called Los Yesterdays created. It's about this one clown that his girlfriend left him for another guy. So it's like about this sad clown, and practically the whole song, if you listen to it and you see the video, it's practically about this guy and his girlfriend and this whole little thing going on. So it's pretty amazing how this song kind of blew up all over the world.
Yeah.
So everybody knows him because of that one song, and it's amazing because he's
in the music video.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably done like maybe like 10 or 15 music videos right now.
Okay.
But now I have another one music video coming up for next week. I'm going to do another music video.
Okay.
And so, you know, like people hire me to do things, and I'm just, I've done a couple of modeling. I've done modeling for Gucci, Givenchy, and a couple of big brands that I never really
even. And then they tailor clothes for him to model.
For those two specific ones, there was no time to actually do clothes.
Okay.
But I was part of it because of him.
Yeah.
Like people hired him, but they were like, no, you should do it. So I did it on my own. This suit that he has right now, people usually make clothes for him.
Okay.
There's big brand companies that make clothes for him. And I got my own custom designer that I have an idea. Like, hey, I want a Halloween custom. Oh, I want a Christmas custom. Oh, I want him this. She will make it for me.
Okay. And is it always like corresponding, like what he's wearing and what you are wearing?
I try to. When it comes to like most, this suit was, it's like maybe like 5 years old. And the guys that did it were envisioning the same suit together. So I had the same suit that I was wearing actually yesterday. We did like a whole Pachuco Sutsu cruise, remembering the Sutsu riots that happened right here in Los Angeles about the Pachucos and all that stuff. So this is what it is. It's a suit with the whole thing going on. And I have the same thing, and we both dress the same. As far as maybe we have maybe like 3 to 4 matching outfits.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, of course, it goes differently, but mostly I try to match with him as much as I can.
Yeah.
But it's just tough, you know, because his clothes are expensive and mine is a little more cheaper. But this Saturday, we're going to run a little 5K marathon.
Oh, wait, where?
Yeah, right here in MacArthur Park. I don't really bring on my side as much. Sometimes when I do go to, like, maybe hang out with my friends, I do maybe take them sometimes. But mostly they just be home hanging. But this Saturday, I got the courage to be able to run. And I never run before in my life.
And then you run with a puppet.
Yeah, like, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting. When I used to work at the theater, Bob Baker, we used to run with some of the puppets, you know, because some of their choreographies, you have to be running with the puppet. Yeah. So I know it might not be that difficult, but I've never done it, you know, so it's going to be a first-time experience for myself and practically all the world, because I've never seen somebody run with a puppet or anything, like, you know, so it's going to be pretty amazing for me. And we're actually working in matching clothes for that day only.
I see.
So I'm going to have some shorts, and he's getting some shorts with, like, a, you know, same thing. And they're going to give us a medal because I actually registered him and myself. So we're two people. And
okay.
If we run the marathon, I want to get two medals, not one. So, so it's going to be pretty interesting, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm trying to get involved as much as I can when it comes to, like, the community.
Yeah.
I've done community cleanouts.
What are community cleanouts?
Cleanout is when I gather a lot of people to just clean the streets. Leave a lot of bags in a corner just for the city to pick up and things like that.
So you also, he's doing like good things, like charity work.
Yeah, a lot of charity work. I've done this other thing called community cookouts. Mm-hmm. Community cookouts is I go as Instagram, hey, help me out with some donations. I'm going to do some barbecue and some rice and beans with some aguas frescas and give it away. So we've done that in MacArthur Park for over some years now. And I've done that. We practically give away free food, like free warm food to the people. And I've done that. I got a certificate from the city for doing that and all that stuff. And like I said, people kind of like what he does because, like I said, to me, it's just like, of course, a puppet. But people treat him like a real person, you know.
Does he have an Instagram account? Not yours, but
he has his own. Yeah, he has his own. The girlfriend has his own too, because he has a girlfriend.
Okay.
And then they had kids now.
The girlfriend is called, I read about it, La Smiley.
Yeah, the Smiley. It's kind of like a smile now, cry later kind of theme, kind of style. And of course, you know, it's the saddest puppet. And now you got more like a happy, you know, girl version. And you know, she became really welcome too, because I had him for like 2-3 years by himself, and everybody was, where's the girlfriend? And I was like, I don't know. Because you know, when you do grow puppets, you have to transfer your feelings and you have to touch your little feminine side, you know. And I'm a little more in the streets, more like in a gangster way to be acting a little girly with some of the grow puppets, because you know, it's kind of tough. I never really manipulated grow puppets. I've done maybe like 3 or 5 out of like 100s, you know. Like when it comes to a grow puppet, I prefer a girl to do a grow puppet than me doing that.
Yeah.
But you know, like when I built her, you know, she just looks great the way she is, like her facial and her clothes. I don't really manipulate her as much because I built her in my house. And
you built?
The body wise.
Okay.
The face, my friend helped me.
Okay.
The body, of course, I was with a saw, just little pieces of wood. Him, I got to build him at the theater when I was still working right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the equipment and I have all the tools that I needed. But, you know, after having them together for 5 years, they were like, where are the kids? And I ended up building. I bought some babies from Amazon, some little tiny babies with like silicone filled kind of. So they feel really real and all that. So I, you know, made them a little clownish theme and got a whole little stroller for them and this whole thing. And people went nuts. Yeah, like I said, this guy's living better than me.
Does the baby also have a name?
Yeah, then I named them Lagrimitas y Risitas, which means little tears and giggles. Kind of almost similar to El Triste and El Smiley combined and things like that. But I never really expected for them to kind of grow to the way they are right now, you know, because I just built them and I was like, hey, look at this puppet because it's cool, and if you like this guy, come and see those other things. But people just love them so much that they just want to follow him instead of other people and things like that.
Do you think they will ever return to some kind of stage? Do you think if somebody would ask, like, would you be in our theater with
Well, you know, I don't think I ever be a performer when it comes to them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of treat them and I feel like they're more like my friends,
mm-hmm.
not as a performing puppets, you know, because mm-hmm. when you build a puppet, if you wanted to perform, you already have the performance in your mind before you build the puppet. So for him, I just build them and that was it. And you know, he's a sad clown. I mean, he's just looking down, walking super slow, just sad, you know.
He's
just
not an actor.
Yeah. He is, but
he is, but
yeah, when it comes to like even a performance, I don't think he could act that. You know, for a smiley, I mean, she's a mom, you know. I don't want to put her through that, you know, put her on stage and things like
and
that.
And there's a third puppet, no? Like E?
Oh, yeah, Little Mr. E. That one's based on this other character. One of my friends created this page called Fools Gone Wild. Mm-hmm. And this page is practically makes fun of cholos, gangsters, and in a way that you don't really expect it, because he does a lot of voiceovers and he created this character, the one puppet. He's actually the same character. He does so many. He's like a rapper. He's a comedian, mm-hmm. and that guy is just blowing up so much that it's crazy how like he impacted the community, you know. And I just wanted to build something kind of showcasing his work, because I mean, when you see that puppet, you're like, oh, you recognize him so fast, you know. You're like, oh, a Little Mystery. They start saying phrases that he says. And you know, I was just trying to get a piece of that cake too, you know, because that guy blew up so much that I'm like, you know, I mean, everybody imitates him, but nobody knows how to make a puppet like that. So I was like, hey, you know, make a little puppet and do the same clothes. It became easier because he has the hockey mask. So, you know, the hockey mask, I had to 3D print it. And the hardest to do in a puppet is the face. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you capture the face and the expression, but that one made it easier with the mask, and nobody knows what was behind the mask. That's why his name is Little Mystery. But he spells it a little different.
Mr.
Like,
E.
Uh-huh, but it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Like, as a mystery.
Okay.
But, you know, he's a funny character, man. It's just, I'm just blessed to be able to create something that, you know, that nobody has. And people think that I'm actually part of Fools Gone Wild, which I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just somebody else from the streets, you know, that's it. But it's a funny character, for sure.
But do you think it's like your story is like a typical L.A. story?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of immigrant people here, and there's a lot of dreams, you know. And I'm just another dream that is just trying to make it into a reality. And, of course, you know, everybody wants to be somebody. And I'm just, you know, like I said, riding my own road. And, you know, if I find something that, of course, I like puppetry-wise, I'll do it. There's a lot of people that, you know, of course, when they didn't know me, I was trying to do stuff. They didn't want to do it because they don't know who I was.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this whole Instagram following kind of triggers people. I don't know why, but people want to take pictures. I'm like, I don't mind, as long as you include them. If it's just by myself, I hardly do it.
Yeah.
El Triste is more like a marionette that you learn how to manipulate. Because it doesn't have special strings. It doesn't have like the special, like, I don't have a mouth or eyes and things like that. So I just practically just walk, wave at people, do certain things. If you are the one a music video, people tell me, oh, can you make them walk? Can you make them jump? I would do certain things, but they had to tell me, because besides that, it's just a regular person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And last question.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your plans for the family? Triste family.
Yeah, I mean, they're growing, man. They're growing big and just amazing, man. They're known worldwide, which is kind of one of the things that kind of amazes me. The big thing coming up right now on July 10th is a Thursday. I'm gonna have my first gallery, and it's July 10th.
Okay,
it's a Thursday. Right here in MacArthur Park. So it's a gallery. You know, I'm not an artist. I'm not artistic at all. I'm just a puppet master. You know, I'm just the guy that manipulates people to kind of help me out with things that I usually want to do. But when it comes to artistic and like art and all that, like, I'm not really great when it comes to painting. I'm not great when it comes to drawing, like, at all. So, you know, I always see people doing drawings. I always see people doing some amazing paintings. So I practically did an open call to people. If you are an artist of any type, if you would like to join this gallery, just make something based on my puppets, and you get to display your work. You put a price, and the money will go straight to you. I'm not going to get a cut. The gallery is not going to get a cut. So it's practically, I'm just showcasing your art. Because you're going to make something based on my puppet. Because right now in my house, I have already like 50 drawings, canvases, pictures that people had gave me to be able to sell on this. Like, I've done this like 2 times, but on just like a little spaces, only 2 days. This gallery is going to stay there for 3 months. And it's going to be amazing, man. You know, I'm going to have free food. I'm going to give away free puppets. You know, it's for the community. And I'm just happy to be able to now have a space. I actually have 3 movies. I have a movie based on like a little mini documentary based on my life while I was working at the theater. I have another movie. He actually has his own movie like on the side. as a puppet that can't do nothing but wants to do more, and it's all puppetry wise. You know,
that's
that?
A story.
Yeah. I know, okay, yeah. Okay. And another one, partly based on my story now when I'm outside of the theater, what I'm doing now. And but yeah, it's just these movies just been, they've been around forever now, and I'm like, man, just, if nobody's gonna show them, might as well be me. Since I'm the one in it, you know. Yeah. So it's gonna be pretty interesting. This next month is gonna be pretty amazing, and I'm just happy to be able to show up something that not a lot of people seen, and you know, in a different style, because you know, people love clowns, you know, and they just never seen a clown the way that I express them and the way I show them, and I'm just happy to be able to do anything that comes my way. Right now, I'm, of course, in the process of fixing my immigration status.
Yeah.
Once that's fixed, I mean, sky's the limit, you know. I'll be traveling. And, you know, put them in a suitcase, you know, go all over. And, you know, the thing about me right now that I don't have a manager, I don't have an agent, I don't have nobody that's going to put my name out there. It's just myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been promoting myself for a long time. And there's this saying that, you know, you got to promote yourself until it pays off.
But, I mean, you also do, like, publicity for the Bob Baker Theater.
Oh,
did you ever hear from them back? Like, do they feel like new people are coming to the theater?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, people, of course, they always see my old videos and they think I'm still there, which I'm not, of course. Because they got a new location. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
I barely got the courage to visit them last year. You know, I'll be going. Because every show they do, there runs for 3 months. So I go once, you know, in between those 3 months, and I go for another one in between those, and always mm-hmm. visit them, you know, give them my advices and ideas, and you know, they always, you know, they treat me good.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be able to be a part of them and all that. And
yeah, but I mean, it just developed into a whole,
its
own world.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. You gotta go in there and just experience it, because once you go in there, you just definitely gotta. You have you been there?
No, I mean your world.
Oh yeah, like, my world.
It's this Trista world.
Trista for
that's
sure.
A whole different thing.
Yeah, I mean, Los Angeles is our background. You know, we're gonna be all over the place, and you must see us in the bus, you must see us in the streets, and. Yeah, you're definitely gonna recognize him.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.